Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. I'm not a morning person. I don't know about the rest of you, but I am not. I'm aware of that right now as I stand here trying to pull my thoughts together. I'm a much more pleasant person about 3 hours from now, which is unfortunate because, well, no, that clock's behind. Yeah, all the services will be over by then, won't they? Oh, well. This is one of those big days in the church here, I dare say. This is one of those ones that even people who know very little or next to nothing about the Christian faith know that Easter exists. You've seen it in the supermarkets, the shopping centers. I know every time I go to get groceries, I see little pastel eggs and chocolate bunnies and peeps. There are a lot of different Christian faiths out there, a lot of different Christian denominations, branches of the Christian family, of the Christian tree. Is it fair to say? Maybe even three? Does that sound like a good number? Maybe more? Wow, you guys aren't morning people either, are you? But there are a few things that we hold in common across all of those groups. What do you see up there? It's not a trick question. The big thing in the center, shaped like a T. The cross. Thank you. The cross. We hold that in common, do we not? Yes. We hold in common our faith in Christ, our recognition of the cross. It's kind of a weird thing to have on a wall, isn't it? You stop and think about it. 2,000 years ago, what would someone think if they saw that on a wall? They would think of torture. They would think of pain, suffering. That's what the cross was an instrument of torture. If you'll pardon the comparison, it would be as if we'd put make a bad comparison there. Again, not a morning person. Instrument of torture. That's what someone would see when they would see that they would see death and suffering. Not hope. Not new life. Not resurrection. Not the things we celebrate today. But if you think about it, what were the disciples expecting when they showed up at the tomb that morning? Were they expecting resurrection? Were they expecting new life? No. They came expecting death. They came with their funeral preparations. They came expecting to see a dead body sitting in a tomb. They came expecting to see not just their Lord and Savior, they came expecting to see their Lord and Savior on a slab, wrapped in cloths. They expected it to be over. Right? That's not what happened. In a little while, I don't remember exactly where in the service, but in a little while, we are going to celebrate a baptism. We're going to celebrate the baptism of, let's slow down over here. Did I butcher the name again? They're so cute. Are we going to get along today? Yes, we are. And I'm excited about this. I'm excited about this opportunity to do a baptism during a sunrise service on Easter. Because I got to tell you, it gives me something to get up for. No offense to all you. But here's the thing. As a Lutheran, I support the baptism of infants, of little children such as this. I think it's important. I think it's necessary. I think it's okay. I think it's scripturally supportable. I think one of the beautiful things about baptizing an infant is that it makes it so clear that the actor
in baptism is God. Because while this child is beautiful, you really are. You're so cute. She can't make any decisions. She is not going to stand up there and say, I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And if she does, whoa, people. That's a miracle. I don't think I'm going to bother preaching at the second service. I'm just going to tell people that. She won't do that. Because God is the actor in that moment. But the flip side is that by baptizing her at this age, it means that every person in this pew, every person in this room, every person in this community, that we're taking on a responsibility. Those are all you. And all you are. And this guy too. Taking on a responsibility to show Christ in our own lives. To teach her about Christ, about the resurrection, about the point to all of this. Because we don't figure it out by osmosis. It takes a community. What's that book? It takes a village. Regardless of your political affiliation, that statement is true. It takes a village. The great thing about baptizing an adult is that the person gets to sit there and think about it beforehand, make the decision, and take on that responsibility for themselves. The awful thing about baptizing an adult is that the person then might think that it is just up to them, that they're the important one in that moment. The great thing about baptizing an infant is that we don't have that problem. It is so clear, like I said in a little bit, not the actor. God is. God reaching in through space and time and saying, I love you. I choose you. I love you so much that I took this horrible instrument of torture and death and repurposed it and found new life and resurrection there. But, again, that means a responsibility for us. That means a willingness to understand that in that new life comes new responsibility. Okay? That wasn't a rhetorical, okay? Everybody know. We're all very serious. We understand you, Pastor. Sermon title that's in the bulletin. I just can't stop looking at how cute she is. Sermon title that's in the bulletin is now what? It is true of this baptism. Now what? After we do this, now what? And we just talked a little bit about that. But there's this commitment to raising her in the faith, introducing her to the scripture, giving her opportunities to ask questions, to challenge and to be challenged. But that question, now what, also applied to Peter in the reading today. He showed up and Jesus was gone. Christ was resurrected. He thought the story was over. And it wasn't. Which is great, except now what? So what did he do? What did the disciples do? They did run. They came together, they agreed, and they set about the next chapter in the story. They set about sharing the faith, spreading the word, living lives that testify to a God so powerful and just and so loving that that God is capable of reaching down and blessing a child, and also capable of reaching down and taking this horrible, disgusting, cruel instrument of torture and death and rearranging it such that for each and every one of us in this room, we have to stop and actually consciously remember that that's what that thing was. I promise you, every person out there carrying around a crucifix or with a little cross and a pendant around their neck, 99% of them, or us, since I do that sometimes myself, is not always thinking, oh yeah, death and torture. Yeah, that's why I carry this around. But is thinking life and resurrection.
We have an awesome God. We have an amazing and loving Savior. And we have a blessed Spirit who has charged us to work through us to help us to spread the word about that Lord and Savior. When you leave here for today and you go home to your ham and your green bean casserole and your potatoes and your jello, remember that. Remember that Christ has called you and blessed you. Blessed you to share this message of love that is capable of taking again this horrific symbol and transforming it into something of love and peace and joy. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.